the one that looked at Satan when the sons of God came before. It's the Lord who said, have you considered my servant Job? Because the Bible specifically says that Satan says, I've been roaming the earth to and fro, up and down. I've been looking. And God says, let me point out somebody for you. There's someone who needs a trial. Have you considered my servant Job? It's there. Read it. And so when God, think about it this way. This will help you. When a trial comes from God and you understand that this is a God thing, first and foremost, we should understand, wait a second, there's a reason why this trial is here. God has an intended purpose for this trial. And ultimately, it is for us to draw closer to Him. So, when you think about it, Job, the Bible said, was a man that eschewed evil. He hated evil. But yet, there was something about Job that God said, I need to try him. I need to test his trustworthiness. So, Satan, I'll allow you to do certain things. You can touch his family, but you can't touch his body. Satan comes back and says, I touch his family, but if you just allow me to touch his body, then he'll curse you. God said, okay, you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. Read it. It's there. So God allowed Job to go through the trial because he was testing Job. But you need to understand this. He is a God who knows the end from the beginning. So do you really think that he would have put a trial or a test upon Job that he believed or thought that Job would fail? No. Wow. So if God sees fit to bring a trial into my life, he must think I'm pretty special. He must think I have the wherewithal. He must think that I'm at a point in my life where I can handle the test. He must think that I've covered the material sufficiently enough that when the test comes, I'm going to pass. Now, we're going to get into that a little bit more. Because this whole trial thing, this whole testing thing, it can be seen in two different lights. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. A unique aspect of a trial is that it is both exclusive and inclusive. Everybody look at me weird. Say what? A unique aspect of a trial is that it is both exclusive and inclusive. You say, how is that possible? Well, let's look at this. It's exclusive in the sense of a particular trial or testing allowed by God for a certain season in life. It's like this. It's like an individual question on a test. It's exclusive to maybe a certain season in life or God trying to develop something in my spirit or God trying to develop a certain area of my character, my integrity. It's exclusive to maybe a certain season in my life where I'm going through a trial. Job was going through a trial in a certain season of his life. It's like an individual question on a test. However, trial is also inclusive. In that our life as a whole is a trial. Think about it. Our life as a whole. The Bible calls it the trial of our faith. It is both exclusive in the sense that there are certain situations and certain things that come into my life that are trials for a certain season. It's like an individual question on the test. But yet, there is also the inclusive aspect of a trial where it is my whole life. How many of you ever feel like you're on trial all the time? Y'all should be raising your hand. It's a part of our human nature. Feel like I'm always on trial. Guess what? I kind of am. But it's not for our failure. It's so that we succeed. We're going to talk about that a little bit. When you talk about a trial in the inclusive sense, you're essentially talking about the entirety of the exam, including multiple test questions. Because that trial of my faith, that trial that is inclusive, it's going to include tests, temptations, trespasses, troubles. There's an exclusive trial for a certain season, for a certain time, maybe a certain situation. But then there's the all-inclusive trial of my life where there are multiple questions. There's multiple opportunities to make right responses and right reactions or wrong responses and wrong reactions. So why does that matter? Why bring that out? Simply because of this. To stop serving God because a few trials have been failed is like quitting a test after answering a few questions wrong. Let that sink in for a minute. Some people become frustrated. Some people give up serving and living for God because they've had failures. Because they've messed up on a couple of the trials. They've missed a couple questions. But they neglect to understand this thing is a test. It's a lifetime. And the reality is, God never expected me to pass with flying colors. God never expects me to get every test right. But so many abandon ship. So many think it's done, it's over, I can't live for God because I've failed a trial here and I've failed a trial there. And that's like saying, you know what, I've missed a couple questions on this test. I don't care what comes after it, I just give up, I turn it in. I'm done. How much sense does that make in the natural? So why would we do that in the spirit? We need to understand, there's some tests that are exclusive, and I can look at my past and say, hey, I failed. I've missed some questions. There's some questions I haven't even come close on. But then there's other questions I've got right. There's other tests, there's other trials in my life that I've passed. I've made the right decision. I've made the right responses. So I can't look at the wrong answers and say, well, I just abandoned the whole test because I got a few answers wrong. No, no, no. Think about this. There is only one who passed all the tests without any mistakes. There's only one. There has been, and there will only ever be one who passed every test. He was tempted in all points like as are we, yet without sin. He never made a mistake. He never messed up. And this same one, this Jesus Christ, teaches us how to overcome. The Bible says, the grace hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What grace is it talking about? The grace found in Jesus Christ. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. This one who passed the test with flying colors. This one who never made a mistake. This man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we have opportunity. We have access to have that same spirit in us. That's why the Holy Ghost is so essential. Because the Holy Ghost helps me pass the test. Now, it would be nice that once we receive the power of God, that we just passed every test from that point on. And if we fully relied on God and we continually walked in the Spirit, we would. But we don't. We walk after the flesh sometimes. We let our humanity get involved. We let our carnality get involved. And as a result, we fail some questions. But don't give up on the whole test. Because he's still teaching us. He's still giving us the power to pass the test. Because guess what? The next question that comes along, the next trial on this test of life, if I'll depend upon him and I'll turn to him, guess what? He'll give me the answer. He'll teach me how to pass it. He'll teach me how to have the right response and the right reaction the next test that comes along the way. Not only that, he gives us grace to retry again and again. Nope. You messed that up. You know, one of the frustrating things in life is that we continually fail the test, and so God continually gives it to us. He has more faith in us than we do in ourselves. Because he says eventually they're going to get it right. I keep testing them. Eventually they're going to get it right. Eventually they're going to make the right response. Eventually they're going to realize that doing it in their flesh and doing it their own way, it ain't worked out yet. And they're going to turn unto me and they're going to say, God, I need your help. I can't answer this one on my own. I've tried and tried and tried. He says, that's okay. I got grace. You can take the test again. I'll give it to you again. But even more wonderful than that is this. He has the ultimate correction pen. And it's filled with blood, blotting out our incorrect answers. That's pretty awesome. The one that teaches us, the one that instructs us, the one that leads us is also the one the Bible says he's the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he's the substitute. He's the one that says, oh, you got that wrong. Nope, not anymore. I got a pen filled with perfect blood, and it's the ultimate correction pen. See, that's the thing. People think, that when you live in the world, you're free from trial and you're free from test. No. But what it is when you live for God, you find freedom in the test. Catch that. You find the freedom and understanding. It's not that I frustrate the grace of God, but I understand. God knows where I'm at. God knows at what level I am at, and God will keep testing me until I pass, and He can move me on to the next level. It's from glory to glory, and that glory includes a test, and that glory includes a trial, and guess what? He'll keep me at that level until I get my head on straight and understand I can't do it in and of myself, and I turn to Him, and I finally say, God, I need Your help to pass this. And when I do it right, He says, congratulations, you pass. Let's go to the next one. So let's take a test. Let's have a little fun. How many of you feel that you're exceptionally smart in this place? I knew Alex was going to raise his hand. I had no doubt in my mind. Exceptionally smart. All right. Let's see. Let's test Alex. You ready? Okay. Here is your first subject of learning. Ready? Early prime ministers of Slovakia. Wait, that's not a question. That's a subject. See, you're already jumping ahead. That's why God has to take a lot of time with you. Ready? Here's your next subject. You ready? Here's the next subject. Nuclear fission. All right? Are you ready for the first question? Well, the first question is going to be from early prime ministers of Slovakia. Okay, you ready? Here's the question. Who was the prime minister of the first Slovak Republic during most of World War II? Archduke Ferdinand. That is incorrect. It is Vojtěch Tuka. Good attempt, though. That was great. Let's give Alex a hand. All right, somebody else. Who wants to try nuclear fission? Anybody? Anybody? Political scientist, there you are. Anybody want to try? Come on. We're going to give this in to Brother Mike. He works at Argonne National Laboratories. Brother Mike is very intelligent. In case you don't know that, he is a very intelligent man. So we're going to give him this question. You ready? Are you ready? Here's the question. What is the only naturally occurring isotope with which one can induce nuclear fission with thermal neutrons? Heat? Anybody? No? Uranium-235. Got some of that laying around? Yeah? Now, how many of you think that test was a little unfair? Yeah? Why? It's above our intelligence. Some would say it's above my pay grade. So, essentially, the test was unfair because it's not really something that, unless you were one that studied Slovakian government, or unless you were a nuclear scientist, these questions are hard. They're difficult, right? That's understandable. Well, let's think about that for a minute. Think about this in the sense of a test or a trial, all right? And let me just say this. We have to be careful. We have to be careful because sometimes when people come into the house of God and the things of God, and because they repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost, we all of a sudden think they need to be doing calculus. Folks, they're still in remedial math. They're still learning what 1 + 2 is in the Spirit. They're still trying to understand. So we have to be careful with people. We have to understand. God is the one who... We start trespassing when we start trying to get them to go beyond the boundaries that God says, no, I have them where I want them right now. I'll bring them along as I see fit and as I see necessary. Think about this. Look at this. Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, and he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where it doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Here's the thing. The translation of that is, he knows the course of life I am on. Job says, he knows where I'm at. God's not going to give me calculus when he knows I'm in remedial math. God's not going to give me nuclear fission when I'm just understanding what it means to live a separated lifestyle. Hello? He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God's the ultimate trier. God's the ultimate one who brings the test. And so he knows exactly where I'm at in my walk and relationship. He knows exactly where I am. Now, the thing is, God is never content with us being at one place for too long. Everything that God created, he created it with the potential for growth. Grow, multiply, be fruitful. And so it doesn't make sense that someone would come into the things of God and stay at an infant level. Oh man, I could preach on this for a while. And the trials of our faith and the questions in our life and the tests that God brings our way are to try to get us to develop. Because some of us have been on the bottle way too long. And God's trying to give us meat. And God's trying to give us something. And we've been crawling for years. And God's saying, it's time for you to walk. And so I'm trying to give you a trial because you need strength in your spirit to get up on your wobbly little legs and start really walking for me. That's why we have a lot of, can I just be very candid? That's why we have a lot of young people and young adults that when they get out into the secular world, they lose their mind because they've never been taught. They've never been led. I shouldn't say never, but sometimes they are not led to understand. You got to walk this thing on your own. You can't stand on the shirt tail of mommy and daddy all your life. You got to learn to walk it for yourself. You got to make some of your own decisions. You got to experience your own trials because God's trying to develop you. Mark 6, 45 through 48. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Remember, we talked about the disciples were all in the will of God, yet they were all in the midst of a storm. Here's that story. The Bible says he sent them. He told them, into the ship, go to the other side. The Bible says he went to the mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So now the disciples who were in the will of God are toiling in the midst of the sea. Jesus, the Bible says, is alone on the land. But look at the very next verse. And he saw them toiling and rowing. I don't know if some have said he was on a mountain. Some have said he saw in the spirit. Some said he saw while he was praying. But he was alone on the land. They were out in the midst of the sea. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. Job said, I go before, he's not there. I go behind, and he's not there. On the right hand, I cannot perceive him. On the left, where he doth work, I cannot behold him. But he knows the way that I take. He knows where I'm at. Here, disciples didn't know where Jesus was. They had left him alone on the land. But he knew exactly where they were. The Bible says he saw them toiling in the midst of the sea. Here's the thing. When it comes to recognizing the trial, talked about how do we recognize a trial? How do we recognize it that we that God has brought something our way or allowed something to come our way? How do we recognize the trial? The simple fact that I cannot perceive God in the test is often an indication that he initiated it. Woo! Let that one sink in for a minute. Many times when I can't perceive God being in this, it's God that initiated it. It's God that allowed it to happen. Why? Because though I can't see him, he sees me. He knows the way that I take. He knows where I'm at. He knows I'm in the midst of the sea. He knows exactly where I am. And though I can't perceive him, though I don't understand how God can be in this, guess what? It's probably him that initiated it. Trial is a trial of faith, and therefore the true trial is beneath the surface and often unrecognizable in our own intellect and understanding. God knows what He's doing. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not about what I see. It's not about what I perceive. It's about the understanding that God knows the way that I take. God knows at what stage I'm at. God knows the course of life that I'm on. God knows my level. And guess what? My level is different from your level, and your level is different from my level. But God knows your level, and God knows my level. And so God may test me with something He won't test you with, and God may test you with something He won't test me with. Why? Because He knows the way that I take. And when I cannot perceive Him, it's often that God has initiated that. Because it's a trial of our faith. Not of what we can see, not of what we can reason in our own intellect, not of what we can understand in our own finite minds. There's an infinite God who's behind the scenes doing the work. He knows what He's doing. He knows the ways that I take. Often the true intent of the trial is obscured, and the trial beneath the surface is where the real testing is done. What do you mean? A lot of times, a lot of things that I've said for many times in study and teaching, you got to learn to look beneath the surface. You got to learn to understand that what I see and what I've confronted on the surface is often really not the crux of the matter. Many times the crux of the matter lies beneath the surface. Many times the trial that God has allowed to come into my life, the trial in and of itself is not what God is doing. God is using the trial to do something in me. Something beneath the surface to reveal a character flaw, to reveal an issue that I have, to reveal a love issue or a faith issue. God is using that trial to reveal a deficiency in my spirit. I know we wouldn't get too many amens on this one. How do we properly respond? How do we rightly respond to these trials when we can't perceive God in it, but in faith we know it's Him that probably initiated it, and we're in the midst of this trial and we're having all this stuff come against us? Well, how do we respond to that? What's the correct response when we recognize that God has allowed this thing in our life and God has brought us to this situation and circumstance, and we realize, okay, God, this is Your doing. Now, what's the proper response? Reject all applicants. Say, what? That makes no sense. Hang with me. A sales company wherein a huge volume of rejection was experienced would often reject all applicants after the initial interview just to see who would respond to the rejection. It would call them in, look at their resume. Of course, they would pre-screen and find out the ones that they wanted to select, and then they would call these people in for the first interview. Sit down, they'd ask them all these questions, and they'd go through the interview process, and they'd tell them all about the company. They'd ask them, well, how do you, in a sales position, this is a high-pressure sales position, there's a lot of rejection in this industry. How do you deal with rejection? Oh, I deal great with rejection. I can take rejection. I don't take no for an answer. I just keep plowing on through. Well, okay, well, we'll give you a response. And they would automatically generate a rejection letter. Sorry, we are looking for more qualified applicants. And the ones that they would call, the ones that would get a second interview, are the ones that would call back and say, listen, I got a rejection letter and I don't understand why. It was a test. The interview, although there were some questions in the interview, if they didn't call back after the rejection letter, no go. So the initial interview, if you will, was just a setup. I think some of you know where I'm going now. Just to find out how they really deal with rejection. Because if they say, yeah, I deal well with rejection, I don't take no for an answer, and then they get a rejection letter and they don't call, they don't really deal well with rejection because we just rejected them. But all when that individual says, listen, I don't understand. I met all the qualifications. Can you please just explain to me why I was rejected, why I'm not continuing in the application process? Oh, well, sir, we've reconsidered that. Based upon you recontacting us, we've reconsidered that, and we'd like for you to come in for a second interview. What do you mean by this? When you recognize it as a trial from God, you recognize that God is in this, and God has quite possibly initiated what's going on and what's happening in your life. Here's the thing. Often our initial response is, God, get me out of this. God, I want out of this trial. God, I want out of this situation. I want out of this circumstance. God, I want out of this. I don't want to have to deal with this right now. I got so much going on in my life. God, let me out of this trial. I don't want this trial. God, please get me out of this trial. And God says, no. He rejects the request. But I prayed and I prayed. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice that it would depart from me. You know what God said? Nope. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm trying to teach you something, Paul. But guess what? It's good that you keep coming back to me because I didn't answer you the first time and I didn't answer you the second time. But when you besought me the third time, I decided I'd give you the answer. Here's the thing. Here's how you properly respond to a trial. You keep responding. Don't give up. Keep responding. Keep praying. Keep petitioning God. Because here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing about responding to a trial. Here's the wonderful thing that you learn in respect to having a trial in your life. The more you respond in prayer and the more you respond in petitioning, the more your response changes. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Because here's what happens. Get me out of this changes to get me through this. And then get me through this changes to keep me in this until I get out of it what you intended. As we keep responding, as we keep praying, and as we keep petitioning God, I know it's a trial from you, God. I don't know how long it's going to last or what you're trying to teach me in this, but I'm not praying for you to take me out of this. And I'm not even praying for you to take me through it anymore. I'm praying, keep me in this until I learn what you've been trying to teach me all these years. Keep me here in this trial until I get out of it what you want me to get. Because you know the way that I take. You know what I have need of. You know exactly what needs to happen in my life right now. So I'm not praying that you abandon the process, God. I'm not even praying that you just take me through it. I don't want to just survive. I want to thrive. So keep me in this thing until I get out of it what you want me to get out of it. The more you petition God and the more you pray, the more your response starts to change. And the more God says, yep, you're learning. Oh, you're learning. The trial's working. You're coming to the understanding of how I work. Just keep praying. Just keep responding. I'm teaching you. I'm leading you in the paths of righteousness. Don't abandon the process. Keep responding. Because here's the thing. Remember, our initial response often reveals why we need the trial in the first place. Our initial response to the trial often reveals why we need the trial in the first place. Because most of the time our initial response is, God, get me out of this! God's trying to say, listen, I wouldn't have allowed it to happen if you didn't need it. I wouldn't have allowed it to come into your life if it wasn't necessary for your spiritual development. So don't abandon the process. I understand your initial response is not going to be right, but you just keep coming and you just keep responding. You don't take no for an answer. You just keep coming and don't let the rejection get you down. Understand there's a reason behind what I'm doing. Often our initial response is the reason why we need the trial in the first place. Secondly, remember, the trial is intended to draw us closer to God, and our responses and reactions indicate whether or not we are moving in the right direction. Whew, that's a big one. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. God, I don't know why I'm dealing with this right now. You may not, but He does. And what He's looking for is you bringing forth fruit. Worthy of repentance, fruit that says, yes, I'm changing. Yes, things are happening. He's waiting, and He's waiting for those responses that are indicating, wait a second, I'm on the right path now. I recognize it's a trial from God. I recognize, God, you've allowed this in my life. And so if you've allowed this in my life, though I can't perceive you and understand that it's you, I just have the faith that it is you, that you've allowed this to come in my life because you're trying to teach me something. So I'm not going to abandon the process, and I'm not going to pray for you to take me out of it anymore. I'm going to pray not only that you take me through it, but I get out of it what you want me to get out of it. So keep me here until I get it. Keep me here until it finally sinks into my brain. Keep me here until I understand this trial is for a purpose and it's for a reason. My responses And my reactions indicate what direction I'm moving in. Finally, remember, our teacher is full of grace and mercy and has the ultimate correction pen filled with perfect blood. What are we trying to say, Pastor? Learn to welcome some trials in your life. Why? Because with those trials, God's building a better me. Why? Because He's conforming me to His image. And the more I conform to His image, the better I am. Because He's the best there ever was, ever is, and ever will be. And the more I conform to Him, the better I am. And the more I allow trials to come into my life, guess what? For me, for Nathan Wells, the more trials come into my life, the better pastor I am, the better father I am, the better husband I am, the better employee I am. If I have a job, it doesn't matter. When I understand that God uses trials, and my response to them has to be, okay, God, you know what you're doing. You know the way that I take. And I know my initial response is, get me out of this. I don't want a trial. But you tell me it's more precious than gold tried by fire. And there's exceeding joy on the other end. So, Lord, help me. Help me to understand this trial is necessary. And it's needful for me. And help me to stay in the process. And the right response is just to keep responding. Just keep responding. Just keep praying. Just keep petitioning God. Because sometimes God brought the trial because you don't have a daily prayer life. And when God brings a trial in your life and you're praying about it every day, it's occupying your mind. Sometimes. I know somebody. Now, this may cross your theology a little bit. I know somebody. I asked her. I know she smoked crazy before coming to God. I said, when you came to God and received the Holy Ghost, did you quit smoking? She said, no, I did not. She said, you know, for a long time, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then God delivered me from it. But you know what? That's where I got my prayer life. Because I kept praying, and I kept praying about it, 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 and I kept praying about it. And the more I prayed about it, the more I realized, wait, God's developing something in me. Are you saying that God said, here, smoke a cigarette? No, not at all. What I'm saying is that God used it. And what the devil meant for evil, what the devil was trying to tempt her with, hey, turn back from God. You can't do this thing. Look at the questions you're failing. Look at the times every time you put one of those things to your lips, you're failing. I know I may fail a question over here, and I may fail a question over there, but I'm determined to pass the test. I'm determined to make it all the way through. You may stand. Don't forsake the process. Learn to welcome trials. Man, that sounds so absurd. That sounds so silly. What do you mean, welcome trials? God's trying to do something. God must think there's more development that's necessary. God must think there's something else that needs to happen in my life. There's some growth and maturity that needs to take place, and God's going to use those trials. God's going to use those avenues. And you know what? In the midst of that trial, God may look at the adversary and say, you can tempt him if you want, but I think he's going to pass. Because even in the midst of those storms, with all those elements going on in our life, in the midst of the trial, man, it seems like right in the midst of that trial, then a brother or sister want to trespass against me. So, come on. Can I add insult to injury? I'm already dealing with a trial. Now, a brother or sister is going to trespass against me? What gives, God? You don't know, but I do. Trust me. It's all about right responses and right reactions. What are you saying? How do you respond to a trial? Just keep responding. Just keep praying. Just keep petitioning God. Just keep going before God. God will reveal. God will show you. God will bring it to pass. Lord Jesus, we love you. How we thank you for your word, which teaches us and helps us to understand the way in which you work. Ah, let us
And let's learn to welcome trials in our life to understand that you use those things to grow us, mature us, God. And though in the time, Lord, in the midst of the furnace of affliction, Lord, it's not fun. We have to deal with the pain, God, and the hurt, God, and the mocking, the ridicule, whatever the situation and circumstance may be, God, to be trespassed against, God. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to understand that you often use those things, those elements of the storm, because you're trying to get us to thrive on the other end. You're trying to show us where we need to grow and mature. You're revealing some deficiencies in our spirit, God, that need to be attended to, because you want us to help someone else. You want us to help someone else make it through the trial. Someone else to pass the test. Why don't you lift your hands to the Lord for just a few moments? Think back in your life to those trials which helped make you who you are today. Thank God for those trials. Thank God for those situations that kept you on the straight and narrow when you could have easily wandered off on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Thank God for those trials that kept one foot in front of the other. Those trials that kept your face buried in the book and buried in your pillow. Thank God for the trials as the tears flowed down your face and you didn't understand what God was doing, but He knew all along where you're God and what you need. Oh, wonderful Savior, glorious God. How wonderful you are. How mighty you are. I bless you for being in service tonight. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.